It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome to our segment two, and this is where we do our Bible study, as you just heard. So we are ready to open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Amy. Well, yesterday we left David in the cave, having just cut off a portion of Saul's robe and feeling absolutely horrible about what he's done. So today we're going to pick back up, and if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 8 through 22. Afterward, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, "My lord the king!" And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Behold, David seeks your harm'? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not put out my hand against the Lord's anointed, for he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand? For by the fact that I had cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, 'Out of the wicked comes wickedness,' but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog, a flea. May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand." As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. And you have declared this day how you have dealt with me, in that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore this to Saul. And Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Okay, I love David's monologue here. As David comes out of the cave, the first thing he does is pay homage to Saul. In a way, he's repenting to Saul and demonstrating his remorse for the liberty he just took in cutting off that robe. He completely owns up to what he did to Saul. No hiding behind anything or anyone else. No one else will pay the price for David's actions on this one. David clearly accepts responsibility and blame for cutting off the corner of Saul's robe. Then, David challenges Saul's presumption that David is out to hurt Saul. David and Saul both know that the one who was out for blood is Saul, not David. David shows Saul what he has in his hand, and David makes his intentions clear here. David will not put his hand against Saul. Even when David's own men encouraged him to kill Saul, he refused to hurt Saul, because Saul is God's anointed one. Not because Saul is a good man, not because Saul is on a righteous mission, not because Saul is so intimidating. David letting go had nothing to do with Saul and everything to do with God. Remember yesterday when we saw how stricken David was when he had cut off the corner of Saul's robe? He was so full of remorse, realizing what was in his heart. And David knows that his heart was sinful and selfish. Even though Saul never really understood what it meant to be God's anointed, in terms of both responsibility and in terms of the rewards, David gets it. And David will not hurt Saul, no matter what Saul does to him, because Saul has been anointed by God. Can you picture the look on Saul's face when he sees the piece of his robe in David's hand? I picture his face going white and him needing a chair as he takes in the full implications of the danger he was just in. He was at his most vulnerable, literally caught by David with his pants down, and literally caught sleeping in the cave, yet David didn't hurt him. All the thoughts that rush straight through Saul's mind at this point, especially because Saul knows that had their situations been reversed, he wouldn't have hesitated to kill David. And he knows that he would have been wrong. It would have been sin. David reminds Saul of who the true judge is and who will judge between David and Saul and their individual actions. Saul is bent on killing an innocent man, and he will lie and deceive and leave his own people with a neglectful and distracted king while he pursues his selfish goal. David, who is running to save his own life, will still refuse to harm the man who is causing him so much trouble because he fears and reveres God more than he worries about Saul. Wow. Again, in verse 14, David asks Saul why he feels David is worth the effort. David is insignificant to Saul's happiness and well-being. Or he should be if Saul would open his eyes and his heart to God. But Saul is unable to do that, so he continues to pursue the flea and search for a dead dog. God will continue to vindicate David by delivering David from Saul's hand every time. And Saul and David both know it. As long as David keeps his eyes on God and continues to put God first, David will be safe. David brings Saul back to reality with this, and Saul breaks down and weeps, and he admits that David is the righteous one. He realizes that God quite literally handed Saul's life to David, and David let him live. Saul knows he would not have done the same thing had he stumbled upon David in a similar situation. We see a moment of lucidity in Saul here, but we still don't see true repentance. Remember, repentance means stopping and agreeing with God that what you're doing is sin, turning from that sin and going the other direction away from that sin. It won't be long before Saul reverts to his former goal to kill David. Saul makes a request of David before he leaves. He asks David to promise not to wipe out his whole family. Saul realizes that he's fighting a losing battle here. He realizes that God is protecting David, and Saul has no way to defeat David when David has God on his side. He shows concern here for someone other than himself. Or does he? I wonder if his concern wasn't for his own legacy. He wanted to make sure part of himself lived on. David accedes to that request, and Saul goes home for now. David, however, doesn't return to the palace or even to civilization. He knows Saul well enough by now to know that this is only a temporary reprieve. David knows that he will only be able to rest once Saul is dead. But David also knows that nothing good will come to the one who kills Saul, because Saul is still God's anointed. And David won't cross that line no matter what. And God takes care of David and makes sure that David doesn't have to cross that line either. Now here's the thing that caught me today. Throughout this whole interaction, David doesn't rub it in. He reminds Saul of Saul's sin. Don't get me wrong. He calls Saul on his actions. But David makes an impassioned plea here for Saul's understanding and awareness. He doesn't add any extra digs to Saul to make himself feel better. Even though David is in the right and he knows it, he doesn't harp on it or dwell on it or make Saul even more miserable. He expresses what needs to be expressed, and that's it. He leaves it there. The result was much more powerful than if David had ranted and raved at Saul and called him names and told everyone who could hear how unfair he was being treated, even though that was true. David wasn't out for sympathy. He doesn't want a pity party. And his words and the knowledge of what has just happened are enough to break Saul. Do we act as honorably as David did here, especially when we know we are right? Let's face it, David was in the right. He was the one who was righteous, not Saul. Yet David leaves it all where it belongs, in God's hands. And David means it. He's not just saying that while plotting a subversive attack on Saul. Do we do that? Do we take the opportunity to correct someone else in a simple and loving manner for their sake more than for ours? Or do we use the upper hand to get a few extra digs in there, too? I don't think any of us would begrudge David a little dig at Saul, an insult here or there, but he doesn't do that. He expresses the situation exactly like it is and points Saul back to God for questions. His words are enough to bring Saul to tears. David knows that this won't be the end of this fight, but he also knows, just as he knew that killing Saul wasn't the answer, he knows when to stop talking. There have been a few times recently when I have walked away from a similar situation with God's peace, knowing that I used His words instead of my own and that I did what He wanted me to do. And you know what? When I know that I was acting for God, not my own agenda, and that I was praying for His words the whole time, I don't walk away and spend the next week rehashing the conversation in my head, wondering what I should have said differently or what I shouldn't have said at all. Come on, you know you do it too. Those conversations often leave a bad taste in your mouth and you dwell on them. I wish I could take credit for that, but the truth is, those were the conversations I had earnestly prayed about before they began, and during the conversation as well. I have to say I'm glad I can recall more than one of those conversations in my recent past. Perhaps I'm finally opening myself up to God in a way that brings glory to Him, instead of just trying to get my two cents in or trying to talk to people out of a desire to be right. The hard part is there's also a time to stop talking. And I know I often want to belabor the point even when I know the other person isn't listening. I pray that I'm able to continue coming alongside Him if and when another situation arises where I might be easily tempted to get my two cents in. My question for us today is there a situation where you know you're right and that knowledge has led you to be graceless, tactless, and self-righteous? We need to understand a couple of things. Truth matters. God's truth matters the most. And we need to be ready to take a stand for His truth. However, if the person you are talking to has a heart that is hard, there does come a point where you stop talking to avoid foolish quarrels. 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 through 26 say, "Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." It isn't your job to try to beat the truth into anyone. God is the one who grants them repentance that leads to knowledge of the truth. Watch out for those quarrels, though. Know when to stop talking and just pray harder. I would just challenge everyone else to dwell in His word and ask for His help in keeping yourself out of those conversations and keeping His words on your tongue. Set your own agenda aside. You'll be amazed at the peace you have, and you'll be amazed to see how God works in the other person for His purpose, even if they, like Saul, only repent momentarily. God is still sovereign, and we, like David, need to remember that in all our interactions every day.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.